With the 20th pick in the NFL draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select.
You're listening to the Journey to the Draft podcast, presented by AAA.
Every athlete has a journey. Focus on the game. Let us worry about getting you there. Auto repair, roadside assistance, and auto insurance. Start your journey at AAA.com. Well, it is great to be back here on the Journey to the Draft podcast presented by AAA. I'm Bo Wolf alongside Fran Duffy. And Fran, while I'm very happy to be talking draft with you again, it's a little sad to be back in Philadelphia. No longer in St. Petersburg.
No, the Murphy bed is no more. We're back here in the friendly confines of the NovaCare complex. Although we won't be here for long, we'll be heading down to Mobile, Alabama on Monday morning. It'll be a nice trip. We'll be down there for a full week.
All right, well, we have a great show for you today. We will talk about some of the latest draft buzz. We'll get to that in a second. But later on in the show, we will bring on the senior director, the director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, Phil Savage, former NFL general manager, former member of the Eagles personnel department, who has done such a great job with the Senior Bowl. He's going to talk about what to expect for us next week. We'll talk to a couple more prospects from the Shrine Game, two of our favorite prospects, and lots more coming your way. So we're going to start with the draft buzz, and then we'll get to our Shrine Game thoughts and previewing the Senior Bowl. But let's get to the draft buzz, and we'll start with the father of the mock draft, Mel Kiper, who has his first mock draft out. It is officially draft season. He's got the Eagles at number 20, taking Marcus Peters, the cornerback from Washington, which I believe would be an enormous surprise.
Yeah, it would be a surprise for a number of reasons, not because of his talent, because if you're looking based solely, solely on talent, Peters might be the best cornerback in the draft. 6 foot, 190 pounds, played some press, played some off, played man, played zone, was able to succeed in a number of areas, had very good ball skills, a smooth athlete with fluid hips, can turn and run with receivers downfield. But the off-field issues are one of the things that's going to be the big question marks about this kid and where his ultimate draft placement will be. So, yeah, I would agree it would be a big surprise.
All right, let me rattle off the names who went after Marcus Peters in Mel Kiper's mock draft. You tell me who you would have taken, all right, Fran?
All right, let's see it.
21, Bud Dupree, the pass rusher from Kentucky. 22, the most attractive and intelligent player in the draft, Kevin Johnson, the cornerback from Wake Forest.
Yep.
23, defensive tackle Malcolm Brown from Texas. Melvin Gordon, the running back from Wisconsin. Andres Pete, the tackle from Stanford. Devin Funchess, the Michigan wide receiver. Jordan Phillips, the defensive tackle from Oklahoma. Benardrick McKinney, the inside linebacker from Mississippi State. Jalen Strong, the wide receiver from Arizona State. Eddie Goldman, who recently declared, the defensive tackle from Florida State. And Sammy Coates, the wide receiver from Auburn. Also at 32, Devin Smith, the Ohio State wide receiver. Who would you have taken?
I would say the two guys that interest me most would be Funchess out of Michigan and Benardrick McKinney, their linebacker out of Mississippi State. I'm still kind of trying to wrap my head around what McKinney is at the next level, whether he's an outside linebacker or is he a 4-3 Sam linebacker. That might be his best fit. Is he an outside rusher? Is he a middle linebacker? Just a really big, tall athlete that can play sideline to sideline. Really fun player to watch. And Funchess, whether he's a receiver, whether he's a tight end, just a dominating player at the catch point, a mismatch problem for opposing defenses. I'll be really interested to see where Funchess ends up.
Funchess over Sammy Coates. You love Sammy Coates.
I do like Sammy Coates. Sammy Coates is a guy that, obviously an explosive athlete. The big question with him is his hands and, whether or not he can get those fixed. And it's funny, we're going to be talking with Phil Savage later on in the show. Phil Savage, a year ago when we went down there, he told me, look, receivers, if they can make up for some of those drops with big plays, which Sammy Coates does, some teams are willing to look past that. So Sammy Coates is a really interesting guy that I really like, but I'll be really surprised to see if he ends up as a top 20 pick.
All right, let's talk about some of the recent declarations for the draft. We've got Georgia Tech's offensive lineman Shaq Mason, who I think will also be going to the Senior Bowl, correct?
No, he was a senior.
Senior, yeah. Bowl ads. Okay,
yes, these are the Senior Bowl ads. So, yeah, right. Mason was added.
So let's talk about the Senior Bowl ads then. Shaq Mason from Georgia Tech, Florida offensive lineman Max Garcia and Trenton Brown, Penn State pass rusher Deion Barnes. I think Barnes is the one who intrigues you the most.
Yeah, Barnes, he's 6'4", 245 pounds, raw athletic pass rusher with long arms. I don't think he fully has reached the limit of his potential yet. So he's got a lot of upside. It'll be really interesting to see how he does down there in the Senior Bowl. Not just a local kid because he played in Penn State, but grew up in Philadelphia, was presumably an Eagles fan, but went to Northeast High School, if I remember correctly. So he's born and raised in Philly.
All right. Also with the Senior Bowl, Brett Hundley, the quarterback from UCLA, declining an invite to the Senior Bowl. I think much to our chagrin, would have been nice to see his tools on display down there. Word is he will be replaced by Sean Mannion from Oregon State. That makes five quarterbacks, with Mannion joining Shane Carden from East Carolina, Garrett Grayson from Colorado State, who you like, Bryce Petty from Baylor, and Blake Sims from Alabama, who you also like. There's a spot open where it is maybe Nick Marshall from Auburn and maybe someone else who we haven't talked about yet.
Yeah, it could be somebody else. It's disappointing, obviously, to hear any time a player declines an offer to go to the Senior Bowl. Just another arena for them to showcase their talents and set themselves apart. Hundley, in this quarterback class, had an opportunity to go down there and set himself apart from some of these other quarterbacks and cement himself as a top three quarterback. Unfortunately, decided not to do that. Obviously, 6'3", 230 pounds, athletic, has a strong arm. Would have been nice to see him go down there, show that he can work from under center, work in a pro-style offense with all these different concepts and meet all these different teams. Reportedly, he's a very high-character guy. It's a shame that he passed on the opportunity. And Mannion, as a player, is almost the anti-Hundley. Doesn't have really a strong arm, isn't really a great athlete. The accuracy is an issue with Mannion as well. So I don't know if he's a starting quarterback at the next level. But high-character guy, very smart player. I would imagine will stick in the league for a long time, at least as a backup.
All right. How about when it does come to those juniors and underclassmen declaring for the draft? One of them who did not, and this was really the talk of the Shrine Game on Tuesday, was will Cardale Jones of Ohio State declare for the draft or not? Obviously facing a three-headed quarterback competition if he returns to Ohio State. He is 22 years old. He's got a lot of tools. Could have declared and really fought for a chance to be maybe the third quarterback in this draft class. Decided to go back to Ohio State, so we won't talk too much about him, but we had this argument. I thought he would come. You thought he would stay.
Good for him for making the right decision and staying in school. 6'5", 250 pounds. Look, you guys all saw over the last three games the athleticism, the strong arm, the ability to make all those different throws, but he's only played three games. The ability to go back, continue to learn, grow, and develop as a quarterback. I think it was a smart decision by Cardale Jones.
All right, how about Eric Armstead from Oregon, the defensive lineman, a player you also like a lot.
Yeah, big kid. I mean, I believe he's 6'7", 290 pounds, one of those dancing bear athletic behemoths on that Oregon defensive line. Really, really intriguing prospect. His brother, Armand Armstead, I believe, played in the CFL. He came out of USC, had some health issues, and that's why he went undrafted, ended up going to the CFL, and then he signed with the New England Patriots, and I believe he's still in New England, but Armstead is a really intriguing talent. I'm excited to study him further, but definitely a guy to watch for the future.
And I guess that's it for all the announcements. No other players really of relevance at all.
I don't think anyone from Oregon, especially from Oregon, I don't think anybody else came out.
Right.
Yeah, that might be it.
Okay, well, should we move on?
I think we should probably talk about Marcus Mariota.
Michael Mariota. Marcus.
Right. Yes.
Marcus Mariota. This is the first I've heard of him. I don't know much about him. I don't really. Does he have any connection here? What's the...
I believe he may have some kind of connection here to the Eagles.
But he's not a scheme fit or anything like that.
Right. Yeah, that's a tough one. We'll see. I mean, Mariota, look, he's 6'4", 220 pounds. I think we all know the story by now. Now that he has declared for the draft, it is worth talking about. But look, this kid, if he goes one or two, it is what it is. I mean, he's a very talented player, obviously has the athleticism. I think he's got enough arm strength. I don't think he's given enough credit for the work that he does within the pocket. Sure, there are lots of bubble screens and QB movement plays where he's pushed outside the pocket. And obviously, the QB run game is a big part of what they do. But I don't think he's given enough credit for what he does in the pocket. Mariota, very good player.
You have done your initial dive into Mariota versus Jameis Winston. And for now, right now, you have Mariota ahead, correct?
Yeah, but I mean, I think it's going to depend on the team and what you're looking for at the position. Look, Winston's got a ton of traits that you really, really like. The strong arm, the ability to play within a pro-style offense. Look, he makes a number of really tight window anticipation throws each and every game under pressure, and it's really, really impressive to see a guy, especially a sophomore, make plays like that. So teams are going to be really hot on Jameis Winston, I would think. Obviously, the off-field issues are going to be a concern, but Winston is a very, very, very good player in his own right as well.
All right, let's turn our attention back to the Shrine game and go on the clock.
On the clock.
All right, well, for today's On the Clock segment, wherein, of course, we play a bit of a different game every time, we're really going to reveal just how incredibly nerdy we are. This is basically...
It's a sickness.
It's disgusting. So, last year at the Shrine game, we started a game where we ranked every single player at the Shrine game in order of their likelihood of being drafted.
That's correct. In the airport, waiting for our flight home.
And this did not... We didn't include specialists.
Nope.
But last year, there were 102 guys that we ranked.
Okay.
1 to 102. And the idea is, it's a confidence pool. So, if someone gets drafted and I have him on my list and you don't, or you know what I mean?
Yes.
If he gets drafted and I have him number 2 and you have him number 10, I get 2 points, you get 10 points, and the goal is to have the fewest amount of points possible.
It's a sickness.
I'm losing breath just...
Yes. Okay. Admitting this. Yes, go ahead.
Last year at the Shrine game, there were over 30 players drafted.
Okay.
We both got 9 of our top 10 drafted.
Pretty good. All right.
Not bad. Your highest miss last year was number 7, Jeremiah Searles, the Nebraska tackle.
I believe he had an injury, and that's probably why he fell out.
I'm sure that's why.
Yep.
My highest miss was my number 9, Josh Mauro, the defensive lineman.
I'm actually really surprised he didn't get drafted.
You were 11 of your top 20. I was 14 of my top 20.
Wow.
You were 17 of top 30. I was 19 of top 30. I won.
You won, yes.
Both of our lowest drafted player,
okay,
our old friend.
Who was it?
Our old friend Larry. Laurent Duvernay-Tardif.
Very nice.
He was your number 92. He was my number 99.
Wow.
We did not respect him.
No, we didn't. We didn't have. We weren't on top of him when we were down there.
The key swing picks were I gained 30 points on Quincy Anunua, the Nebraska wide receiver.
Right, went to the Jets.
And 28 points on Bo Allen.
There you go.
You gained 47 points on Prince Shembo.
There you go.
So there you go. All right. So
the sickness continues.
The sickness continues. That's the headline. I like that. The sickness continues. We went through all 98. 98
players. 98
players,
yes. We're not going to go 1 through 98.
We're not going to go 1 through 98. We'll spare you that. We'll try to go
through. Don't change that dial.
We're going to go our top 10 and our bottom 10.
All right.
All right. Which one do you want to do first?
I'm going to go through my bottom 10.
Yeah, let's do the bottom 10.
I'll go bottom 10. All right. So 89, I went with Mississippi State offensive lineman Ben Beckwith. Number 90, I went with Rice wide receiver Jordan Taylor.
Wow.
91, I went with Maryland linebacker Cole Farrand. 92, I went with Regina wide receiver Addison Richards. 93, San Diego State's wide receiver Azelle Ruffin. I didn't write the schools down. I'm embarrassed. I remember everybody. 94, I went with quarterback Anthony Boone. 95, I went with defensive tackle Darrell Wadd. 96, quarterback Dylan Thompson. 97, running back Zach Zenner. And 98, Navy safety Parrish Gaines.
Wow. All right. So remember, these are the guys we think are least likely from the Shrine game to get drafted. I'll tell you mine. My 89, Northwestern offensive lineman Brandon Vitabile.
Yep, okay.
Number 90, Bowie State tight end Kari Lee.
Oh, I've got him a little bit higher. Okay.
All right. Number 91, actually a player I like, a guy I like, but I don't think he's getting drafted. James Madison safety Dean Marlowe.
Interesting. Okay.
All right. 92, Tony Pauline's favorite player, Louisville offensive tackle Jamon Brown.
Okay.
Number 93, Georgia quarterback Hudson Mason. Number 94, Newberry College linebacker Edmund Robinson. Number 95, Navy safety Parrish Gaines. Number 96, Zach Zenner, the running back that you talked about. 97, South Carolina quarterback Dylan Thompson. And 98, Arizona State quarterback Taylor Kelly.
So, very interesting. There we go. All right, so...
You know what's? It's funny just how, when we're there for those 3 days, like my brain is entirely consumed of these players.
Yes.
You like yesterday evening. If you had said who is number 20 on the East team, I would have been able to say it right away.
Correct.
And now that we're back here, it's almost all gone.
It's been a long day, so yes, I would agree. It's not all gone. It's not all gone, but. Yeah, it's. I mean, I'm in Senior Bowl mode.
East
now.
Team 77, Jamon Brown.
No, he was 79.
79. That's already lost. 70 was John Miller. All right. How about your top 10 then? Let's trade off. We'll go 10
10
down.
To 10. All right. Number 10, I went with and I like this guy, but number 10 I went with William & Mary wide receiver Trey McBride.
Okay.
Mainly because it's a deep wide receiver group.
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Mine number 10 is also a receiver.
Okay.
Maryland's Deion Long.
Okay. Nice. All right.
So I feel like I was very confident about my top 9, and then 10 is where I had to decide, make a tough decision.
All right. There you go. Number 9, I went with Georgia corner Damian Swan.
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting. He's my 18.
Okay.
Number 9 for me, Michigan wide receiver Devin Gardner.
Okay. Number 8 for me, I went Louisville linebacker Deontrez Mount.
Okay.
A guy that I didn't watch. I still have not watched, but I really, really liked what I saw this week.
Okay. I also went with a Louisville player at number 8, but I went with John Miller, the guard.
All right. Interesting. I had him at 16. We're sick. Number 7, I went with Michigan State linebacker Tywan Jones.
Okay. He's coming up for me, but my number 7 is Kansas State offensive lineman B.J. Finney.
Okay. He was also on my list, but we'll get to him in a little bit. Number 6, I went Oregon linebacker Tony Washington, who made it there for day 3 of practice. We saw what he can do. He's a very talented player.
My number 6 is perhaps my favorite player from the week, the X-Man himself, Xavier Williams, the Northern Iowa defensive tackle.
There you go. It was only a matter of time before he was on there. Number 5, I went with B.J. Finney. You already talked about him.
Okay. Number 5, I went with your number 10, Trey McBride, the William & Mary wide receiver.
Okay. Number 4, I went with USC corner Josh Shaw, a guy mainly because I knew that coming into the year, he was very highly thought of. Obviously, he was suspended for a good chunk of the year. He was off the team, came back press corner in a cornerback class with not a ton of depth, especially for teams looking for press corners. I think Shaw will find a way to get drafted.
He's going to be a swing pick. He's all the way down at 37.
Ooh, that's a big one. All right.
All right. My number 4 is the Kentucky tackle, Darian Miller.
Okay.
Skinny legs, Darian, but a good player.
Yeah. Number 3, I went Darius Kilgo from Maryland.
Okay. My number 3, Kilgo for me is a little bit lower as well. We could have some real juice on the line here.
Yeah, I know.
I cannot believe people are still listening. All right, my number 3, Syracuse offensive lineman Sean Hickey.
Okay, number 2, I went Darian Miller.
Number 2, I went Tywan Jones.
All right, number 1, I went Sean Hickey.
All right, number 1, I went Tony Washington.
Okay, there we go. All right, so there's some mixing and matching there of our top 10s, but the big swing picks, obviously. Josh Shaw was probably the number 1 big swing
pick.
All right,
well, don't worry. Once the draft is over, we will have our Journey to the Draft podcast wherein we're going to do is go over these picks and people will tune in and we'll get record ratings.
Let's hope so.
All right. Well, let's transition from the monotonous to some actually good stuff here. We had a chance to catch up with my number 1, Tony Washington, on Wednesday at the Shrine Game. What a crazy week for Tony Washington, playing the national championship game on Monday night and then flying from Texas to Florida so that he could be part of the Shrine Week, because, you know, he's got to turn the page from playing for it all to all of a sudden having to sell himself to NFL teams for the draft. So we talked to him. Let's hear that now. It's our unofficial visit.
The unofficial visit.
Well, we're here with Tony Washington, Oregon linebacker. And Tony, we talked about it a little bit, but it must have been a crazy couple of days for you. It's now Wednesday. Monday night, you had the national championship game. I guess you came here straight from Texas?
Yep. Got on a flight the next day. Kind of just learning the system on the run, getting the schedule, trying to figure out where to get around the hotel. So, I mean, I'm just going with it.
Why was it important to you to be here so quickly after the game on Monday?
Well, number one, I think it was a great opportunity to play another football game. I mean, college is over. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. So, I feel like the opportunity is there, so I got to make the most of it. And also just show the coaches and everybody around that I'm disciplined, you know. I'm committed to this game. I'm going to be out here and do everything I can.
So as you move from being in the team portion, obviously, at Oregon to now sort of selling yourself as a prospect, tell us the scouting report on Tony Washington. What should fans expect?
I think they expect a lot of pass rushing out of me. I think that's where I kind of flourish in the Oregon system. But out here they run a different scheme, so I guess I can show them my versatility. I think that's what I like also, playing more of like a 4-3 linebacker more so than a 3-4 stand-up end type linebacker. So kind of just showing the coaches I can do different things so all teams can draft me.
So because we are the Eagles, obviously, you know Chip well. You know, he took 2 Oregon guys in the draft last year, Josh Huff and Taylor Hart, some former teammates of yours. How much do you follow the Eagles, and how much would you maybe in a dream world want to land in Philadelphia?
I mean, I love it. I know they have a lot of coaching there that I coach at Oregon, so I mean, I'm kind of familiar with the system. I love watching their defense because it's a lot they do a lot of the same things that we do up at Oregon, so I kind of try to take tips from them, especially guys like Connor Barwin and those dudes. They really go hard, so I kind of try to model my game off them. So, I mean, if I get that opportunity, I'll take it full on.
And did you have a good relationship with Chip?
I think so. He recruited me coming out of high school. Was coaching me for 2 years, and I just saw him actually not too long ago, so shared a couple words. So, I mean, still the same guy, great coach. So, if I get the opportunity, I'm going to take it full on.
All right, last question. Any good stories that we should know about some of your former teammates who are with the Eagles now?
Josh Huff, that was my roommate in the dorms. That might be one of the craziest kids I know. He eats some of the weirdest things. For example, you go to the corner store, get a frozen burrito, throw it in the microwave, put like cheese on it and hot sauce on it and eats it, or put hot sauce on popcorn. He does all kind of weird stuff.
All right, that's pretty good.
I love him, though. That's my brother, though.
All right, that's good, Tony. Well, best of luck, and maybe we'll see you in Philadelphia.
Thank you.
Now it's time for Pick 6.
All right, today's Pick 6 for us is the 6 players for whom we believe the Shrine game itself, the game on Saturday, which you can watch on NFL Network, is the most important. So the players who we will be watching, not necessarily the closest, but who we think the game itself will make a big difference. For me, I'll start with number 1. I'm going Blake Bell, the tight end from Oklahoma. Not because I think he needs to show much in the passing game or anything like that, because whoever takes him or wants him is going to know that he's a project. I just think, let's see what kind of effort he gives in the blocking game. Let's see if he's got some tools in that aspect of the game. That's what I'm going with Blake Bell.
For a guy who's only played 12 games at tight end, this is game number 13. So this is a big showing for him. I went with another former quarterback. I went with Devin Gardner, 6'4", 214 pounds. We know the story. We've been talking about him all week long. Gardner showed up. He did better than I thought he would. Has the mentality for it, has the body for it. I'll be really excited to see how he looks in live game
action. So I kind of disagree with you, because I don't think that the game matters that much for Devin Gardner, because he is such a project. He is such a long-term investment.
If he goes out and catches 5 for 110 and a touchdown, though, that's a pretty big step.
That's a fair point.
So I'm just very, very interested to see how he does. Look, he's going to be going up against guys like Josh Shaw, Bryce Callahan, some of these other bigger corners on the other side. I'm excited to see how he fares Saturday.
Isn't Bryce Callahan smaller?
He's 5'11". He's not small.
All right. I think he weighed lower. Anyway.
All right.
Josh Shaw is one of mine.
All right.
And that's because
that's big. That's a good one.
He was suspended for those games.
That's a good one.
He has to prove that he's in football shape, that he spent that time wisely. So I think it's an important game for Josh Shaw. And I didn't think he had a great week of practice necessarily. So perhaps he is a game player.
And there's some good receivers on the East squad that he'll be going up against. So that'll be a very interesting matchup.
Bryce Callahan, 5'10", by the way.
All right.
Well, count that.
Well, we'll see. The next guy I went with a running back, because I feel like out of all the positions, running back is the hardest to judge during the week of practice.
Totally
for all these All-Star games. So I went with Terrence McGee, who I think is the most talented of the backs. Well, I shouldn't say the talent. I think he's the best of the backs. Malcolm Brown of Texas, maybe the most talented. But Terrence McGee out of LSU, 5'9", 220 pounds. I think he's got the potential to be a really good third down back at the next level. Runs in the mid 4.5s, reportedly a tough kid. I'm really interested to see how McGee looks. I think Hilliard got a lot of good press this week. Rightfully so. He had a good week of practice. I think Terrence McGee might be the better of the two.
I totally agree about running backs. You can't really judge them unless it's a game.
It's tough.
All right. These quarterbacks have not been great. We've talked about that all week. I think that maybe Taylor Heinicke has a chance to prove himself a little bit. The idea behind Taylor Heinicke is that he's accurate. He's going to know the offense. He's going to know where to go with the ball. He's going to have good pocket presence. If we see that in the game, maybe he's got a chance to go late. I think he's the only quarterback here who has a chance to play well in this game. And I know Cody Fajardo is talented a little bit. Anthony Boone's got a big arm, but I think Heinicke is the one who's got a chance to make some waves.
This is kind of a cop-out. I chose a few of the quarterbacks. I kind of lumped them into one. Heinicke was certainly one of them. Cody Fajardo was one of them. Hudson Mason and Taylor Kelly. Those four guys I'm kind of looking at to see if they can take their game to the next level, maybe stand out above the rest in terms of this quarterback group at the Shrine game. Anthony Boone, Dylan Thompson, I'm not sure if I saw enough from them to say that a good performance would necessarily swing me one way or another. But those four guys, Fajardo, Mason, Heinicke, and Kelly, I'll be interested to see how they do Saturday.
All right. Well, the West team outside of Josh Shaw, who you talked about, they do not have many corners with size. And that's why I'm looking at Darren Waller, the Georgia Tech wide receiver. who is 6'6 and a half, 240 pounds. He's got to be able to make plays, I think. You know, he wasn't even a starter at Georgia Tech. It's crazy that Georgia Tech keeps producing these wide receivers in that offense with Paul Johnson. But Darren Waller is so mammoth that he's got to be able to make some plays on the ball, I think.
Yeah, and he had a good week of practice, so it'll be very interesting to see how he does in the game. My next guy, I already talked about him in the segment, Malcolm Brown, the running back out of Texas. I think he's probably the most talented of this running back group here at the Shrine Game. 5'11", 223 pounds, good vision, tough kid. I think he brings third down value as a blocker and a receiver out of the backfield, just a little bit of an underrated trait for him. I'll be interested to see how Brown does in this game.
I thought about doing the cop-out thing and just going with all our wide running backs like you had talked about, but I decided not to. I do think Dominique Brown's going to be an interesting player to watch. I think he's not bad, the running back from Louisville. My number five, the Michigan linebacker, Jake Ryan, and that's because we sort of know that he's limited in coverage. We know that he's a two-down linebacker whose game is making plays at the line of scrimmage and being a force against the run. If that's the case, let's see it in action. Let's see him diagnose those run plays and get after it.
Yeah, that's a good one. I went with another linebacker, too. I went with from the west side. I went with Ben Heaney from Kansas. 6 foot, 226 pounds. Size, not his forte. Obviously on the smaller side, but very instinctive guy. Plays sideline to sideline. High motor. His big thing is his play strength is not great. He struggles getting off blocks. He's got short arms, so that further elevates that flaw in his game. And really just being able to hold up at the point of attack. Going up against an East offensive line that I think is better than the West group, I'll be interested to see how he does in the game if he shows the ability to take on blocks, get off blocks, and make plays. You look at a guy like Chris Borland last year coming out of Wisconsin. Ben Heaney's not Chris Borland. Chris Borland fell to the second round. Obviously, he had a good rookie season for the 49ers before he got hurt for the same reasons. He had short arms. He's not a great athlete, and he's small. We'll be interested to see how Heaney does in the game.
Well, I'm going to sort of follow your lead and look at a guy with not great measurables, undersized, going up against a pretty good East offensive line, and that's TCU defensive tackle Chucky Hunter, who did not have a very good week of practice. He was sort of overmatched, it seemed like, against some of the bigger offensive linemen. And I think if he is unable to sort of make anything happen on Saturday and he's still getting pushed around at the point of attack, it's a very big long shot for him to get drafted. He's 6 foot, 298, trying to play on the nose and playing defensive tackle. I think he's got to sort of prove that come game time, the size doesn't matter as much for him.
Yeah, that's a good one. And the last guy I went with, Washington wide receiver Cason Williams, 6'1", 219. A lot of pub for this kid over his career at Washington. The injury a couple years ago really hurt him. Struggled to come back from that. Good yard after catch guy, has got some decent size, can go up and attack the ball at the highest point. Got to improve as a route runner, had some drop issues. So it'll be really interesting to see how he does this weekend.
All right, well, let's turn our attention now to one more unofficial visit. We talked to former Michigan quarterback and wide receiver prospect Devin Gardner.
The unofficial visit.
All right, well, we're here with Devin Gardner from Michigan, one of the better stories of the week here as you look to convert from quarterback to wide receiver. What's the process been like for you throughout the week and really throughout the season?
It's been good. You know, I've been able to compete really well against all these guys, and it's a pretty elite group of guys, seeing all these different helmets from different schools. Never gotten a chance to play them. You get a chance to get one-on-ones and seven-on-seven and stuff. And the whole idea for me is just come out here and just show that I belong, and I feel like I'm doing a good job of it.
As you go through the process, what are the steps in the conversion where you feel like you can pick them up quickly, and what are the things that are going to take a little bit more time?
Getting open is pretty easy for me. I play quarterback, so I know exactly where I need to be open. And I feel like I don't think anything's going to be the toughest thing that I probably have to deal with is just the volume of running. It's a little different volume, just keeping my body, healthy, things like that. At quarterback, you don't have to run as much. And that's about it. I feel like everything else, I'm picking it up pretty well. And I'm just going to keep working, just trying to get better every day and just not taking any steps back.
Certainly you've got the size, the physique of an NFL wide receiver. Are there guys in the league who you look to as maybe potential comparisons for you?
Not so much comparisons, but guys that I like to emulate and guys that I like to, be as successful as and, do the things they do, like a Calvin Johnson and, Yeah, Larry Fitzgerald, you know, guys that are technically sound, you know, and make big plays, and even when it's not all, it doesn't look good, it still works. So I just want to work hard like those guys and try to work on my skills.
Having been the quarterback for Michigan, you're certainly well experienced dealing with the media and stuff like that. Do you feel like the meetings process, meeting with teams, that stuff comes kind of easy for you?
Yeah, you know, but I just like to be myself and just be the guy that I am, you know. I don't try to put on like a mask. I feel like that's where a lot of guys might mess up, and you know, and I just feel like being genuine and telling the truth is the best way to go.
Having seen Denard Robinson make the conversion to a different position in the NFL, does that give you something else to look forward to, that there's light at the end of the tunnel?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's always light for me, man. I'm a survivor, and I work hard. So, I mean, whether I saw Denard do it or not, I would be fine. But Denard definitely, you know, that's one of my good friends, and I'm excited for him. He's doing really well, and I love getting a chance to see a guy that I play with, you know, and actually my roommate on TV playing football, so it's cool.
Do you have finally any goals for the draft, for the combine, things you want to run, where you want to come off the board, or is it just more generally getting better?
I just want to get better every day, you know. That's it, really. I mean, I can't even say much else. You know, I just want to get better every day, and I feel like if I do that, everything else will take care of itself.
All right, well, Devin, best of luck, and hopefully maybe we'll see you in Philadelphia one day.
All right, thanks.
All right, so remember, you can watch the Shrine Game on NFL Network on Saturday afternoon, but for now, we will put the Shrine Game in the rearview mirror and turn our attention to the Senior Bowl. Next week, we will be down at Mobile, Alabama, in full force with PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We've got four people going. We're also going to have Tony Pauline on site. We're going to bring you daily podcasts from Mobile. Lots of play-by-plays, lots of prospect interviews, all the good stuff from the Shrine Game, really blown up to 11 is what we're going to talk about from the Senior Bowl. So with that in mind, let's give ourselves a real preview from the man who knows everything there is to know about the week that's coming up, the director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, Phil Savage.
Time to go out on a high note. It's time for Mr. Relevant.
All right, well, we are here with the director of the Senior Bowl, Phil Savage. And, Phil, first question is, things are being done a little bit differently this year at the Senior Bowl schedule-wise. Take us through the differences and why those changes were made.
Well, really, I got here in June of 2012 and felt like we would assess things for a year or two. And after the second game since I returned, I just felt like that it was a bit of a long for the players. And so we lifted a day out. We took the old Thursday out. So now this year, the weigh-in, the first real feature of the week will be on Tuesday morning, and the first practices will be Tuesday afternoon. So we'll get three good days of practice in Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, give the players a day of rest, do some community service on Friday, and kick it off on Saturday.
I think I'm sure NFL personnel around the league are very happy with the changes. That sounds like a good way to go about things. But in terms of the class of Senior Bowl players, what we should expect? What's the most loaded position group that we're going to take a look at in Mobile next week?
I would say that the wide receivers, which is no surprise. I mean, with the evolution of the game, especially at the college level, almost every program is playing a three or four wide receiver offense, so there's an abundance of wideouts. Guys like Tyler Lockett from Kansas State and Vince Maley from Washington State, Devin Smith from Ohio State has been a big riser, I think, and will continue to be as people do their evaluations. Outside of that, these hybrid-type pass rushers, guys like Haole Kikaha from Washington, Bud Dupree from Kentucky is still on our list. You talk about a young player from a smaller school, Zach Hodges at Harvard, Lorenzo Malden from Louisville, Marcus Golden from Missouri, Nate Orchard from Utah. There's some pass rushers that are going to be in the mix down here in Mobile.
Phil, one of those wide receivers that you do have signed up is Sammy Coates, the redshirt junior out of Auburn. He was one of those redshirt juniors that made himself available to the game very early in the process. Just talk about your recruiting of him to the game.
Yeah, Sammy Coates, of course, is a fourth-year junior graduate in December. This was an exemption that we were granted 2 years ago. So Justin Pugh, of the Giants, and DJ Fluker of the Chargers. Last year we had Adrian Hubbard, who ended up in Green Bay. He had really a medical condition that kept him from being drafted. But we've had three so far, and this year we have three more. You mentioned Sammy Coates. Both Deion Barnes and Donovan Smith from Penn State have qualified and are in the game as well. And, you know, there's a small pool of junior-eligible players that have already taken care of the academic side of their lives. And we just went to the league and asked if we could get some assistance here and get that waiver for this type of player. And Sammy Coates has a chance to really elevate his stock here. He had a number of drops during the year, but he was in our offices yesterday for a local media day because he's from this general area, Leroy, Alabama, and he is big. I mean, he's going to measure somewhere in that 6'3", 225-pound range. He is put together, and if he can be more consistent catching the football, I think that he can make some noise here.
Phil, one of the position groups that I think Eagles fans will have a close eye on at the Senior Bowl is offensive line. Of course, 2 years ago they took Lane Johnson at number 4 overall, who did such a good job bringing his stock up at the Senior Bowl. You know the Eagles have that offensive line where they sort of covet athleticism and being able to get to the second level. Who are some of the guys who are going to be there next week who have that requisite athleticism?
Yeah, you know, offensive line groups, in all honesty, have taken a bit of a hit here over the last couple of days as we're finalizing this roster. But when, to me, the premier offensive tackle in the game is going to be T.J. Flemings from University of Pittsburgh. I think he's going to be a big riser over the course of the week and as this pre-draft run-up takes place. Lakin Tomlinson is an athletic guard from Duke University. Via Jamaica and Chicago, he ended up at Duke and had a nice career there. He's a player that has that kind of capability. One of my real favorites in this game is Robert Myers. He's a Tennessee State guard. Last year, Kadeem Edwards ended up being a fifth-round pick of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think Robert is a better prospect. I think he goes as early as the third round. I think he's got NFL starter written all over him. And then another interesting lineman that does have some foot agility, but comes from a very small school, Hobart College in New York, Ali Marpet, is a player who's going to make his debut on the big stage here in Mobile.
What is it like for you to find those small school guys? And I know you're talking to scouts around the league, but for both for you to find those guys and watch them go throughout the week, and then for them the opportunity, as you said, to prove themselves on the big stage.
Well, there's a lot of joy derived from it. I can tell you guys, after being in the league for 20 years, and you know, draft day can be very exciting, but it can also be very heartbreaking. And the reality of it is in a given year, you're going to get a chance to pick 7 or 8 players and move on to the OTAs and the like. Here at the Senior Bowl, you know, we're hopeful of getting 85, 90, 95, 100 players drafted a year. So we get a chance to celebrate with all of them. It's a lot of fun to see somebody in an August training camp and say, you know, I think he's got a chance to play in the NFL. Let's give him a chance. They take advantage of this opportunity and go on from there. You know, Lyndon Trail is a defensive end outside backer from Norfolk State University in Virginia. I saw him way back the first week of August, and he just looked like an NFL player. We'll see if he can play like one. But, you know, a guy like him, Kwaski Tart is a safety from here in Mobile. He played at Samford. He was a high school teammate of Jimmy Ward, who was a first-round pick out of Northern Illinois last year by the 49ers. Kwaski was 183 pounds coming out of high school. He's 221 pounds now. So, you know, he gained 38 pounds, if my math is right, during his college career. And, you know, with the way college recruiting is now at the major school level, a lot of kids are overlooked that are late bloomers, and we think that we found some for this 2015 game.
You talk about diamonds in the rough. Talk about how did you guys find Quentin Rollins? Obviously, the basketball background, a 4-year starter at point guard, didn't play any football in college, wasn't on anybody's radar, and now he's in the Senior Bowl. Just talk about that process.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I was at a Thursday night game in October, and I had told some of my scout friends that, look, man, I am short on corners. This does not seem like a particularly deep or strong class senior-wise, for sure. And they said, "What about the guy from Miami, Ohio?" And I'm like, I don't know who you're talking about. And they said, "Quentin Rollins, he's a basketball player playing 1 year of football." And so we checked him out and felt good about it, vetted his name through a few of my other sources, and sent the invitation up to Miami of Ohio, and they gave it to him in a team meeting. They had a tough year there this season, and the way it was described to me is the team just stood to their feet, gave him a standing ovation, and he's was just thrilled to get the chance to come down here.
Hey, Phil, I have a sort of a scouting question, a general question for you that's been on our mind because we were at the Shrine game last week. When you look at a prospect, we're thinking of an offensive lineman in particular, who, you know, he's got the good stuff, but when you look at body type and he's got really skinny legs, something like that, he doesn't have that base yet, versus upper body, which of those do you think is more projectable? You know, if you see, we're talking about specifically Darian Miller is a Kentucky tackle who we're talking about. Do you think that when you see that, is that something that as a scout you project to thinking that you're going to be able to put weight on his lower body, or is it more of a he may not be able to do that at the next level?
Yeah, I would think, at least in my opinion, just, and I'm not a weight room strength conditioning expert by any means, but to me you've got to look at the leg structure and, you know, the capacity to gain quality weight, and, you know, how wide are their hips? Are they narrow hipped, et cetera? You know, what kind of girth do they have in their lower half? Because to me, you can gain weight in your upper body once you get in a better circumstance food-wise, once you get in a better situation weight room-wise. And that's why I'm so excited about Robert Myers at Tennessee State. I think he's got a great set of legs for pro football. I think he's very sturdy. He's been in a situation where, you know, they don't have the 3-meal-a-day training table. They don't have the same types of facilities that they literally would across the street at Vanderbilt or across the state at the University of Tennessee. So I think he's got a real upside. But to me, I would value the body structure, lower body first, thinking that I can improve a player's upper body after he gets to the next level.
Interesting. Good to know.
Phil, I wanted to ask you about two local guys that you have coming down to Mobile. One of them you already brought up, Deion Barnes out of Penn State. The other, Ibrahim Campbell, the safety out of Northwestern. Talk about those two guys and what they bring to the table.
Yeah, you know, Deion Barnes is a player that declared for the draft as a fourth-year graduate. Bob Shute, the defensive coordinator, is a friend of mine. I called him, and, you know, immediately and said, "Hey, I see where you're losing Barnes. What do you think Senior Bowl-wise?" And he recommended him highly. You know, he's got a chance here to really showcase his skill set, especially in those one-on-ones. And it's going to be pivotal for him. And as a younger player, I mean, what a great head start he'll get on this whole draft process in terms of getting a chance to figure out what teams are going to be asking him once he gets to Indianapolis. So this is a real opportunity for Deion to show what he can do. And then Ibrahim Campbell is a player. I did not see Northwestern in person this year, but again, the safety group is sort of ordinary. I'll be honest about that. And as we were going through the list and, you know, lose a player here or there, I have several sources in the league. They're great friends of mine, people that I really trust their eye, their opinion. And one scout grabbed my attention because he really felt like that he was an overlooked player. And so we took Ibrahim, and Ibrahim, rather, is the way he's pronouncing his name. And I know that Pat Fitzgerald, their head coach there, he actually texted me several times in the month of December saying, "If you have any opportunity at all, please bring my guy." And he's a better player than he's being given credit for. So he's going to get that chance to prove it here in Mobile.
Since we're talking about pronunciations, tell me if I'm doing this right ahead of time, Phil. Owamagbe Odighizuwa.
Yeah, I think you're right on it, especially on the last name.
Okay, all right, I feel good about that.
But yeah, Odighizuwa, he's part of the package. I did see UCLA during the year, and I just called him O squared throughout the whole fall. And we invited him, and he accepted early. And he's an intriguing player, very powerfully built. You know, sometimes tends to rush down the middle of an offensive lineman. So I think in this context, teams will really be able to evaluate how much edge ability he has in terms of getting on the corner of an offensive lineman and getting after the quarterback.
All right, last question, Phil. I guess it always starts with the quarterbacks, and I know the roster is not fully set yet, but take us through some of the guys there, and I know Blake Sims is a player who certainly you have seen up close and personal very, very often.
Yeah, Blake Sims from Alabama was not even on our watch list, 350 players deep in August, and I do the color for Alabama. He was really the key figure, although Amari Cooper ended up as a Heisman finalist and will be a top 10 NFL draft pick most likely. Blake Sims was the key player in the success Alabama had in terms of getting to the first ever college football playoff. He's very athletic. He's a one-year starter, but he broke virtually every record at the school, was the SEC championship game MVP. So felt like he was deserving of getting a shot here. Every Alabama quarterback that had any pro aspirations whatsoever has been in the Senior Bowl, with the exception of Kenny Stabler, who was hurt back in the late 1960s, and then, of course, last year, A.J. McCarron. So there's a bit of a rite of passage for the Alabama quarterback to come through Mobile on his way to the pros. So Blake's going to have that chance. Shane Carden from East Carolina was a record breaker with the Pirates. Garrett Grayson from Colorado State had a really nice season under Jim McElwain, who is now the head coach at Florida. You know, Sean Mannion from Oregon State broke a lot of records under Mike Riley at Oregon State, so more of a pro-style quarterback in terms of the drop-back ability. Bryce Petty from Baylor. Of course, a lot of questions out there. Can Baylor quarterback transition to the NFL? And so Bryce wants to answer those here. And then, you know, we're waiting on Marcus Mariota. I believe that we're still considering Nick Marshall as well from Auburn, who also is one of these hybrid-type quarterbacks, may not fit what the NFL wants on the surface, but to get a chance to dig into him a bit might be interesting for some of these teams that are willing to do some zone read stuff at the next level. So, you know, those are the seven quarterbacks, the six not with Mariota withstanding here and not knowing for sure whether he is in or out. But that's the group we're working with, and, you know, this is an interesting class beyond Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota. I think the race is really on to see who the third quarterback is. Unfortunately, Brett Hundley from UCLA decided to pass on the game. It's his choice, but, wow, I thought that last year A.J. McCarron and Geno Smith the year before were cautionary tales at the quarterback position, but that did not seem to resonate with him. So we'll see what happens with the other guys that are here and willing to put their wares out on display, so to speak.
Well, Phil, we thank you very much for taking the time to preview the Senior Bowl with us, and we really cannot wait for next week, probably our favorite week of the year down in Mobile, Alabama.
All right, guys, look forward to having you down here, and it looks like the weather's going to be good, particularly in the middle part, so you guys should be good that way, and I appreciate you guys' interest, and thank you so much for being on the ground here in Mobile.
Absolutely. Thanks again for the time, Phil. Appreciate it.
Okay, guys, be good.
Now it's time to hear from you, the fans, in the draft mailbag.
Well, thanks again to Phil Savage for taking the time to preview the Senior Bowl with us. And before we get going here on the Journey to the Draft podcast presented by AAA, let's dip into the draft mailbag. Let's dip our beaks one more time. And the first question comes to us from our friend at Les Bowen, who wants to know, Fran.
Oh, Les.
Who are the Eagles going to draft at number 22? I'll hang up and listen.
Well, Les, I think with the 20th overall pick, the Philadelphia Eagles will select Daniel Bowen out of Ohio State. I think he's still got. I don't think he's got any eligibility left.
All right, that's pretty good.
That's it.
I'll take that. All right, next question. PA's finest, a repeat question, a repeat questioner. Thoughts on Ibrahim Campbell as a fit for the Birds? Another versatile, smart, tough kid. He's played some corner, former high school running back. I don't know if we want to give away the connection here to Ibrahim Campbell, Fran. Let's save that for next week.
We have to save it.
He's a player you like.
Yeah, a local kid from Philadelphia. Has been a four-year starter for Northwestern at strong safety. Plays a number of different roles for them. Like I said, a huge, huge hitter on the back end, whether it's supporting the run or hitting receivers across the middle of the field. The athleticism overall will be tested this coming week in the Senior Bowl. So Ibrahim Campbell is a name to watch moving forward.
All right, our last question of the podcast comes to us from at the real Colin Welch, and he wants to know, what do you make of Daniel Jeremiah's latest mock draft? We You know, the draft buzz, we filmed it before the draft came out, so this is good. This is good timing, Colin Welch. The question is, the Eagles have, or Jeremiah has the Eagles taking Landon Collins, the safety from Alabama, at number 20 with guys like Vic Beasley, Lyle Collins, Preston Smith still on the board. What do you make of it, Fran?
Collins will be interesting. We talked about him earlier this week when we were down at the Shrine game. The question with him overall, it's like with Campbell, is he a good enough athlete? Now, getting him at 20, that might be good value. I haven't personally studied Collins enough where I could say that he's good value at that spot yet. He may be long gone before then, too. So wait and see on Collins. But for some of those other guys, Preston Smith is intriguing because he's one of those big, long kids that is really good against the run, can drop in coverage, and can rush the passer. Really came on late this in his senior year as a guy that I really, really like. Vic Beasley, obviously, is one of the more dynamic pass rushers. Coming into the season, had a lot of fanfare, and for whatever reason, people aren't really talking about Vic Beasley at this point, which is very interesting to see. Very similar athletically to Anthony Barr.
All right, well, that'll do it for the Journey to the Draft podcast presented by AAA. Thanks again to Phil Savage. Thanks to the viewer questions. Thanks to Tony Washington and Devin Gardner for taking the time to talk to us. Thanks to you for putting up with Fran and I ranking every single Shrine player from 1 to 98 on their likelihood of being drafted. The sickness continues, as Fran says, and the sickness will continue in full force next week in Mobile, Alabama. Remember, we will bring you at least 4 podcasts next week from Mobile, taking stock of everything that's going on down at the Senior Bowl, where the Eagles took their first 4 picks from last year's NFL draft. We're Senior Bowl guys. Previously, I believe the last three first-round picks all from the Senior Bowl.
See, you have Lane Johnson.
Smith, Lane Johnson, not Fletcher Cox.
He's
a junior, but that's all right.
It's all right.
Eagles have taken lots of players from the Senior Bowl in
that
years
is
past.
Correct.
And that certainly will happen again. For everybody here, which really is Fran and myself, we thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.